It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282, and let's talk legal.
And let's do that. And first, let's welcome our guests into the studio, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mike.
It's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday here. We had some good conversation last Tuesday. It seems like it was just yesterday, but nonetheless, we're here again. And what's our topic of discussion today, Cecil?
Absolutely. Mike, let's talk about what is a corporation and what are the responsibilities of corporate shareholders. This is the time of the year. Here we are, the first of October, where we at our law firm, we are documenting each and every corporation that we have in our office that we represent, as well as our limited liability companies that we represent. And we're doing what should sound familiar to the listeners, which is preparing their annual minutes.
Yes.
Okay. Wes and I see folks all the time. They come in, they say, well, I'm incorporated. Well, let me, if you don't mind, drop by your corporate book. Sometimes the response is, well, what is that? That's not a good response. Okay. where is your corporate bank account?
That they can probably
Well,
answer.
I don't have a corporate bank account. I'm a corporation, but I bank, the account is in my personal name. Okay. What is your federal ID number? Well, I don't really know what you're talking about. I don't know that I've got a federal ID number for my corporation. So, the bottom line here is that if we are going to be a corporation, and this includes LLC, LLC, you know, is just kind of like, because so many folks have an LLC now versus, you know, a C or an S corporation. But an LLC is, you know, really the flip side of the same coin, kissing cousin to the corporation. It is a type of corporate entity, an LLC.
It's a limited liability.
It is a limited liability company. So it falls into everything that we're discussing this morning applies to LLCs. And the bottom line to acting like a corporation is that you really do have to walk and talk like an LLC, like a corporation, because one of the major purposes of why you created a corporate entity was to protect yourself as an individual from the liabilities that can occur with regard to running the business. Okay. And so the first thing that a lawyer is going to ask for if there's a lawsuit or if there's an audit by the Internal Revenue Service or Department of Revenue, if there's any kind of, you know, even a workers' compensation audit, any kind of a licensure audit by the Raleigh associations and boards that license so many types of businesses, they're going to want to see that we're walking and talking like a corporation. So that's kind of what we want to talk a little bit about today. In our corporate zone, it begins, doesn't it, Wes, with the shareholders meet. The shareholders come together and they have a organizational meeting where they not so much organizational. That's not the best word. They have an annual get together. Whereby they then elect their board of directors. Now, you know, sometimes these are all the same people, you know, mom and pop organizations, mom and dad, son, daughter, doesn't matter. These things still have to be documented, put in writing, and put into the corporate book. Once the board of directors meet, the board of directors then elect officers. North Carolina needs a president and a secretary. Primarily, the secretary historically attests to the signature of the president, but there are some mechanisms now to get around that. But we try at our office to have a president and a secretary. And so the board then meets for the purposes of electing their officers. And then these minutes basically have affirmative language that says that we ratify all of our acts throughout the year. If there's been the creation of a new loan, a new debt for the corporation. Maybe if the corporation has bought a building or real estate, anything of any particular nature could be included in these minutes. But otherwise, they ratify all of the actions of the officers of the corporation throughout the calendar year.
Is there a minimum number of officers that need to constitute the board, or just the office? You have the president, the secretary. It seems like you're talking a lot of financial stuff too. You don't have a treasurer, or can you have a treasurer?
You can, but the terminology, okay, board of directors is just the board of directors. The board of directors is going to elect the officers.
Okay.
So the officers are normally, you know, four positions: president, vice president, treasurer, secretary. You don't have to have all those four positions.
You don't. So, okay.
But when we're talking about how many board members are we going to have, it's kind of like how many Supreme Court justices are we going to have. It's good to have an odd number.
Yeah, in case of a vote.
And normally, we're going to look back
decision
at the articles of incorporation that were filed as it relates to how many board members there are. And because those articles get filed with the Secretary of State,
right,
that indicates, you know, how many board members we're going to have. We may not have that in the articles, and it may be in the bylaws. There could be a vote as it relates to an amendment of the bylaws to change that number. But our governing documents normally will have language in them with regard to establishing how many board members the particular corporation, mm-hmm, you know, would have. LLC is a little different. LLC is like a quasi-contract type corporation. Some relax standards with regard to having minutes for meetings, but it's still important to do that.
Yeah.
Annual reports are required with the North Carolina Secretary of State, and I think they charge a couple hundred dollars a year, you know, for that. But still, you want to, you know, walk, talk, and act like an LLC. You can't just commingle the money that comes in and put it in an account under your Social Security number. You need to have a tax ID number for the LLC.
Yeah.
So kind of jumping around there with regard to that. But there's, I think, kind of the moral of the story with regard to a corporation or an LLC. You know, I think what listeners need to know is that primarily, I think the primary number one issue would be you've got to do certain things other than just paying for it. I mean, you know, I see these commercials. I think they're so funny. You know,
the docks, you know, in a box.
Set up this entity and you can do business. You're great. Well, the reality is you don't even need the corporation to do the business.
Right.
You can go get a business license and start your boat building business. You know, Wes's boat building, you know, mm-hmm, you're a sole proprietorship. But the problem with Wes's boat building is if Wes messes up a boat or someone gets hurt as a result of Wes's shoddy work on the boat, all of a sudden, if Wes has not set himself up correctly as a corporate entity, then Wes exposes everything else that he may have.
Whatever your name's
liability.
On. Yeah.
Okay. Any money he has, you know, a car, you know, whatever. Real property. But in the event that you go start, you know, Wes starts Wes's boat building business and sets it up as an LLC or a corporation, sets up a separate bank account, gets a tax ID number, does not commingle personal funds with those corporate funds, has the appropriate annual meetings, the appropriate organization by adopting bylaws, represents itself as a corporation, may need to file a thing called a certificate of assumed name, depending on what name we're using. Then in the event that Wes creates the problem with regard to a boat, someone gets hurt, then that liability is limited to this corporation.
Right. That makes sense.
You can't jump out of the box then and start, you know, trying to get to Wes's other things. And I'm using the name Wes because my name's Wes.
Yeah. You know? Good example. We understand that.
Right.
It seems like it's easy to get a LLC or you get a corporation,
right,
to go through the state.
It's correct.
Where you get yourself in trouble is,
right,
not having the guidance of a Harbell and Collins.
That's kind of the problem.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to be, you know, whatever here. We really are trying to help people. Even when we get involved, Michael, and do it, you know, right, it's not that expensive.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's very inexpensive to go online and create a charter out of the Secretary of State in Raleigh. Okay. Push a button here, click a button there, click enter. And, you know, a week or two later, in comes your charter in a nice little envelope from the Secretary of State. In that then goes into a folder. Maybe, possibly, mm-hmm. and the folks believe that they are incorporated.
Yeah.
Okay. Now are we going to a break? Because I
get about 3 minutes.
Okay. All right. Fine. So let's bring this down to the practical side of things. Let's say that a corporation is sued. One of the things that Wes could talk about, of course, is that, you know, when folks sue everybody, they kind of do, you know, anybody and everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they might sue Mr. and Mrs. Jones individually, and they might also sue ABC Corporation, okay? Mm-hmm. What the litigator is going to want to do is to get Mr. and Mrs. Jones out of the case and get them dismissed from the case, because that could be personal exposure for them. They were doing business at the time through ABC Corporation. And so ABC Corporation, we can talk about what they did and didn't do all day long, but let's don't talk about Mr. and Mrs. Jones. So the bottom line is what frames up is, you know, is a lawsuit whereby Wes is attempting to get Mr. and Mrs. Jones out of the case. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is that he's going to want to show the adverse party, well, here's the corporate book. It's been maintained each and every year. They've done minutes. They've been doing minutes at Harvell and Collins for 15 years. They have a corporate bank account at whatever bank it happens to be. Here are the corporate records. Here's the federal ID number. Here, by the way, are the corporate tax returns. Okay. So Mr. and Mrs. Jones really did walk and talk like a corporation, and you need to dismiss them from the lawsuit. Now, that's a positive result. But if for some reason all we have, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, is that envelope from Raleigh, from the Secretary of State, that we finally can find in our filing cabinet and bring it out and bring it to Wes, then he's not going to be put in a very favorable, positive position to be able to get them dismissed, because they really didn't walk and talk like a corporation. So that's the practical way in which we see this thing apply.
Briefly, right. On the flip side of that coin, if I'm representing the party who is bringing the lawsuit and the corporate entity is on the other side, and we think that there is a likelihood that there was some kind of activity that would allow us to pierce the corporate veil and to get to the shareholders, mm-hmm. then I'm going to bring that claim of piercing the corporate veil, and then I'm going to subpoena records or send discovery requests to get all of these records. I want to see the meeting minutes. I want to see the business records. I want to see the bank accounts. I want to see the tax returns. I want to see, and if you don't have them, or if those bank records show, man, you're using corporate money to pay for Sally's school.
Yeah, it's kind of
got a little bit of a problem. You know, then I can get to the shareholders personally. So you can't just mail in the check and say, I'm a corporation, I'm good, because you're really not getting the benefit. And it's fine until it's not.
Yeah.
And when it's not, then you've got no benefit whatsoever of the corporation or the LLC.
Let's take it to a break here. We'll process that. It sounds like the way Cecil laid it out there. If you're airtight and you're a corporation and you're walking like a corporation and talking like a corporation, all things are good. And it doesn't take much to do that. You just got to follow the guidelines put forth.
No, it really doesn't. These annual minutes that we do for our corporations, and we've got hundreds of them that we do this time of the year, you know, a couple hundred dollars.
Not much.
And that's every year. That's once a year.
Yeah.
It's an annual once a year thing.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, and we're talking about corporations and LLCs and all that's involved in it. And there's a lot of involved elements in it, but if you follow the guidelines and how it's laid out, you should avoid a lot of problems. It's when you don't do that, it's when things get a little muddy, don't they, Wes?
Right. You know, this what we're talking about here is that, you know, we have a certain statute regarding LLCs in North Carolina, and we have a certain statute regarding corporations. And then we have all of these cases, of course, in North Carolina over the years that interpret these issues with regard to what you have to do to get those protections.
Mm-hmm.
As far as acting like a corporation, acting like an LLC, following the requirements of the statute, and in the event that you fail to do that, then you're in a position where potentially you have exposed the shareholders to personal liability. I mean, that's really kind of the number one reason why folks want to set up a corporate entity of some sort, so that they do shield themselves from personal liability. Because, I mean, let's face it, as we just live and go through our normal life with our families, there's not a whole lot of liability with regard to that other than driving a vehicle.
Right.
And the state of North Carolina and every state mandates that we're required to have a minimum amount of insurance with regard to that,
mm-hmm.
of course. But then when you're engaging in a business, when you are operating a ferry service, when you are building boats, when you are a landscaping service, when you're doing any of these kind of things, well, you're exposing yourself to the public. You're providing a product or a service to the public. Liability goes way up. We're in a litigious society. I mean, everybody wants to blame someone for something. If something bad happens, it's somebody else's fault. Just kind of the way it is. That's the way I look at it anyway. Mm-hmm. Seems to be that way more now than it has been in the past. But be it as it may, the corporate entity allows you to facilitate, operate your business, do the best you can with your business. And if you do that right, then you're able to do that and separate your life that doesn't really – it doesn't expose yourself to liability, just your things you do outside of your business.
It makes sense.
But you have to do it, you know, the right way. Otherwise, you just don't get the benefit. And we see it all the time. We see, you know, corporations, LLCs that are supposedly set up properly. And then when we look into, you know, what was actually done, the charter's been sitting in an envelope for 12 years and nothing else has been done.
Mm-hmm.
Bank account was never set up. The tax ID number was never received, so that was not used to set up a bank account. We've just been running everything through our personal account. Well, that's okay. It's time to fix it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sit down with someone who knows what they're doing with regard to this. Of course, we do that. We do this work, and bring it up to date. In the event that you did, in fact, meet and have meetings, let's say with your mom and pop corporation, and you did discuss it, let's document those meetings that just didn't get documented over the past 10 years, 12 years. In the event that you did not previously set up the bank account, get the tax ID number, start it now. Okay? That may not help you if you've already had an issue in the past. You know, let's say that there's a lawsuit pending right now. That may not help you as it relates to limiting the liability. But going forward, let's clean it up right now. That's the best you can do with regard to proceeding forward. And the most likely scenario would be, let's say that you have cleaned up your act, you're operating properly, consistent with the law for your corporation or your LLC, and let's say you do have a liability issue in 2 years. Let's say that in 2 years there's something that happens in your business and you get that summons and complaint. The sheriff shows up, and my goodness, you got to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that 2 years of acting the right way, as long as you've done it properly, is most likely going to provide you the corporate protections that you thought you had before, but you didn't because things weren't being done right. So don't think, well, I haven't done right before. It's too late. No, that's not what you need to think. You need to go ahead and get it in proper order.
Can you go back in time and say, well, we did meet, we just didn't record it, but this is what we talked about. Can you create minutes from the past, or you have to start at the moment?
Yeah, but you are required under the North Carolina Business Corporations Act to have an annual meeting.
Yeah.
And then in the event that you're creating minutes from meetings that were had in the past, you can do that.
You can.
Yeah, but in the event of a lawsuit, let's say that you're deposed.
Right.
When were these meetings? When were the minutes prepared? Well, they were prepared all this year. You know, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's not going to be too airtight.
That's why we need to do it when the meeting is actually held. But it's better to go ahead and prepare the meeting minutes consistent with meetings that have been had in the past, that have been held in the past.
Yeah.
And simply document these are meeting minutes relative to the annual meeting held for year, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Dated today's date. I mean, we're not trying to trick anybody. We're using the actual date of
right.
today, whenever it was signed. But we're documenting a meeting that was held in the past. That's better than not having meeting minutes at all.
Because what we're talking about when we talk about corporations, we're not talking about Disney and McDonald's. We're talking about mom and pop and maybe
right.
the kids, maybe 2 to 4 individuals creating this corporation.
Sure. We're talking about friends in a business. It could be 1, 2, 3, 4. It could be the mom and pop. We have multiple corporations that are very successful, larger businesses in Eastern North Carolina that we represent. And the larger businesses, our job primarily, and really with regard to all of the corporations we represent, is to make sure that everything is being done right.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's be clear about that. The meeting minutes that we prepare are consistent with the information that they give us as far as when the meeting is taking mm-hmm. place, so on and so forth, because they're going to meet annually and deal with whatever their issues are. But the direction that we give them, we can't control that as the attorneys. For example, got to set up your separate account,
mm-hmm.
tax ID number. Here's your tax ID number. We do get that. Don't commingle funds.
Makes sense.
That's the client going out into the world. We just hope that they do what the lawyers tell them to do.
You give them the guidance.
Exactly.
You give them the guidance.
Yep.
Yeah. You're not driving their ship, but you're just telling them this is what you need to do.
That's right.
That makes sense.
That
makes sense. Let's take a short break here, and we'll come back, and we'll have our final segment of Let's Talk Legal. If you want to call them at the office after the show, call 252-726-9050 or go online to HarvellandCollins.com. We'll take a short break here and be back with our final segment of Let's Talk Legal. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal in the remaining 90
right.
seconds or so.
We'll yeah.
let Cecil close.
Well, we don't have much time, but we do have time for this comment. You know, Michael, isn't it interesting today that Wes and I are talking about, corporate updates and the
yeah.
proper formation for your corporation, or your LLC. And, of course, last week or week before, a couple weeks ago, we always are talking about, having your legal affairs in order in mm-hmm. terms of your last will and testament, your durable power of attorney. Now, what I'm trying to say here is that, there's a comparison here. I maybe hate to have to tell our listeners this, but kind of like going to the dentist, and going to get our doctor exams. If you don't go, you're asking for a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a whole lot more expensive down the road, if you don't do the maintenance,
That's right.
So the same is true with your lawyer. All of our listeners, you need a good lawyer. That doesn't mean that you need to spend thousands and thousands of dollars, okay? Doesn't mean that you've got to spend money with the lawyer every single year. But you need a good lawyer, and you need a lawyer to get your affairs in order with regard to your estate planning, with regard to your corporate planning. Next week, we're going to talk about maybe corporate agreements, shareholder agreements. I mean, if you don't have these things in place, that's when you, Michael, get into the thousands and thousands of dollars, which we want to avoid.
Yeah, I think it's a great analogy, like the doctor. Save the money and save the pain.
Correct.
And do it right.
That's
and
right.
The preventative maintenance
that's right.
Pays off in the long
and
run.
The preventative maintenance is not that expensive.
Call Harvell and Collins and find out. HarvellandCollins.com or call 726-9050.